A Kate Middleton video fails to quash speculation as a new photo editing scandal emerges, and a friend of Princess Diana warns that monarchy's 11th hour may be perilously close. I'm Jack Royston, Newsweek's chief royal correspondent, and this is Newsweek's Royal Report. Hello, listeners, and welcome to the show. Now, some things have changed since the last episode, and some things have not changed. Specifically, everyone is still talking about Kate and whether she is missing. We have a new video taken of her popping to a farm shop in Windsor, which is just on the outskirts of Home Park. That's the big park that's on the south side of Windsor Castle now. It's Crown Estate owned, but it is also open to the public. It's in the public domain. It's there for the public. Obviously, it's a farm shop. Now, obviously, many will already be up to speed on events, but just in case, I'll rush through a little potted summary. So, Kate has not officially appeared in public since Christmas Day. She had abdominal surgery on January the 16th. Kensington Palace said she would be off work until after Easter. But in late February, Twitter started to go into overdrive with people saying she's missing. The palace released a Mother's Day photo, which we thought would kind of blow away all of the conspiracies, but it had been edited by Kate in Photoshop, meaning there was still no clear, reliable image of the princess at the point that the new video dropped on Monday. This video was published by The Sun and TMZ in America. And it appeared to show William and Kate walking side by side. The prince is wearing a kind of baseball cap, so he's dressed all casually. And Kate is dressed casually too. She's wearing a kind of black hoodie and leggings and trainers, kind of like sportswear. They're interacting warmly with each other, and Kate is carrying a bag. Now, surely that puts an end to the speculation, I hear you say. Well, sadly, no. That is not how things work in the digital age. Social media is really convinced that something is being hidden here, and they have alighted on this theory that it's not Kate. Or at least that, I think, is the main theory. There's another one too, which I'll get to all of those conspiracy theories in a moment. But first, I just want to give an indication of how far and how fast some of this stuff is spreading, because Andy Cohen of Real Housewives fame, also a former guest on Meghan's podcast, for what it's worth, posted on Twitter to say, "That ain't Kate." So obviously, you know, actually quite like Andy Cohen, and, you know, kudos on Real Housewives. But I do think that's kind of irresponsible, if truth be told. Like, Andy, do you really know whether or not that's Kate? To state unequivocally as fact that it isn't her, I think is a bit bonkers, to be completely honest. And, you know, the guy obviously has a huge platform. But also just a quick side note to say that the day after the video dropped, Prince William had a royal visit in Sheffield in the north of England. That was on Tuesday, a day after the video was published, and he made reference to Kate's absence. He was there to announce some funding for his homelessness scheme when the subject of childhood came up, and he replied, "That's my wife's area. She needs to sit here." So in other words, like, he's basically saying, "I wish Kate was here, because then she could talk about childhood with you," because Kate has this early childhood project called Shaping Us. So William's been doing a lot of this kind of referencing Kate, and, you know, here he's referenced her absence, but he doesn't really say a huge amount. So this is another one of those situations where I don't think will be particularly clear to ordinary people why he's saying so little about her. I think probably the reason is simply, you know, what we want to know is about her health, and they've made this call that her health is out of bounds. They don't want us talking about it, so therefore they don't talk about it themselves. But personally, I think that is perhaps slightly too old school, and that in reality, they would both be best served by William opening up a little and being a little kind of more candid and you know, and open, really, about what's going on. So she obviously, you know, she has every right to be struggling. She's had major surgery, and I don't think anyone would hold it against her. She's still extremely popular in Britain. She is also very popular in America, for what that's worth. And knowing a little bit more about exactly what she's been going through and hearing it from her husband, I think would probably focus people's minds a little bit as well. But back to the conspiracy theories, I should say, social media was also full of some jokes and some memes as well. But it was also certainly, you know, full of like quite detailed conspiracy theories, which the people spreading them do appear to genuinely believe are true. So I want to talk about, I suppose, some of the really like quite sweeping assumptions that underpin some of those theories, which to me seem completely wild, but other people seem to think are legit. So I'll go through a few of them. It's hard to be exhaustive in these situations, but I'll go through a few. So to the people who say it doesn't look like Kate, obviously, Kate had major surgery in January and she's been recovering ever since. And it's no surprise to me at all to see some changes in her physical appearance, which no doubt may well, I'm sure, be temporary. But there is also an unmistakable likeness in this video of William and Kate walking through Windsor. Most importantly, though, actually, I think it's very important that we don't put unrealistic pressure on women in the public eye to always look perfect. You know, people are allowed to be hit hard by surgery. They're allowed to take time to recover physically. And I think that kind of pressure to always look yourself and always look your best is in reality probably part of what has made this whole situation so difficult for Kate. Now, other conspiracies include that the video was actually from December. So straight off the bat, I just want to point out that these are contradictory theories. It cannot simultaneously be true that the palace have brought in some kind of body double to stand in for Kate or some Kate lookalike, and also that the video was actually from December. So, because they would not have known in December, obviously, that they were going to be in this situation. So at least one of those theories is wrong, potentially both. So if you are someone who believes the theories, take a pause to consider that one of these is definitely off and that you must therefore digest the unbridled certainty that pure fiction is flying around on social media. So that is the one thing that you can be completely certain of, is that untrue speculation is very definitely flying around social media. So the theory goes that in the background of the video are temporary sheds that were put up for the Christmas period that would not still be standing, and that Christmas decorations are visible on them. These are wreaths. But to be honest with you, this has been debunked online. There are recent images taken previously by The Sun before they got this footage of Kate, which people have gone over and to show that the sheds are still there. So some people have then come and said, well, okay, the sheds are there, but you can't see the decorations on the sheds. So that must show that at the very least, the decorations were December. But actually, if you look closely enough, the decorations are in fact there. There's also a conspiracy theory around that the onlooker who was quoted by The Sun and who the video footage was attributed to. So this is a person called Nelson Silver, 40 years old. Let me just start actually by what Nelson Silver said, and then we'll get into the conspiracy theory. So he told The Sun and TMZ, "I noticed a couple choosing loaves of bread and the woman turned her face and I felt like I had seen the face before. It was familiar. I knew it from somewhere. Then William turned back and I thought, hold on, I know this person. I said to the staff, I think it's them, as I paid. I went to my car and as they came out of the shop, I just filmed them. I think they walked out through a gate out of the grounds. They just vanished and I didn't see a car. I just wanted to share with my family footage and showed just how normal they were." So now what's happened basically is that people have found a Nelson Silver online, who is based nearby, and he's got a LinkedIn profile, and the job title is Digital Engagement Lead. So they are using that to say he must have been hired by the palace due to his expertise in making things go viral. There's just one slight problem. He's staff at Lego. There's actually a Legoland in Windsor, very famous attraction in the area. And he works, as far as his LinkedIn goes, the very LinkedIn that people are using as evidence, he works as a staff member at Lego. So with the greatest of respect to the Twitter investigators, this is not a thing that happens. People bring in external advisors, absolutely. They bring in strategists, they bring in consultants, they bring in freelancers. All of these things are true. But not people who are already working in-house in relatively senior positions at major international brands. That's bonkers. Like, that doesn't happen. And this obviously comes after a whole load of other completely crazy conspiracy theories, which I discussed last week. And honestly, I do understand like people being blown away by the fact that Kate edited or doctored a picture she released of herself on Mother's Day. And I understand completely people feeling like the palace were too blasé when they first told us about the surgery and acted like everything was fine, when actually, you know, it's probably hit her a lot harder than they let on. I also understand people believing that the palace are being too secretive. And to be fair, they have been quite secretive. But reality still exists. You know, you cannot just conjure into existence any insane alternative reality that you like the sound of simply by saying it very loudly on social media. Like the fact that you have a theory and are really excited by this theory does not make that theory true. And getting loads of interaction on social media also doesn't make it true. So take, for example, you know, the husband and wife who we've been writing about in Newsweek this week, who they posted two completely contradictory and extremely offensive conspiracy theories within little more than half an hour of each other. So the wife suggested that Kate had been murdered 38 minutes before the husband suggested she was on a psychiatric ward. So obviously, if she's on a psychiatric ward, then she hasn't been murdered. Like, those two things cannot both be true. But husband and wife, who have, you know, they say that they're husband and wife on their own profiles and have been retweeting some of each other's tweets, have both said these two contradictory things. Like, it's very difficult not to feel that some of the people spreading these conspiracy theories do kind of know what they're doing. And how would people like it if they had to live a day or two in Kate's shoes? There is a lot of pressure if you're in the public eye. And actually, not just, it's not just being in the public eye. Like, I mean, I'm in the public eye. I go on TV sometimes. And it's like not even a fraction of what members of the royal family have to deal with. Being one of the most famous people on planet Earth is just like such a searing light that shines constantly that cannot be escaped. And honestly, I do think that there should be some sympathy. You know, there undoubtedly will be parts of this that we don't fully understand, that Kate may never want to talk about, and that we may never know. But we should remember sympathy and empathy. And we should also remember that implicit in that statement that we don't know because the palace haven't told us is an acknowledgement that we are, as a society, you know, we are not like psychically able to just simply deduce all the things we haven't been told. You know, like that's kind of the whole point, because they haven't told us, we don't know. But going around and taking some little scrap of information and using it to make a load of stuff up is not going to get you to the truth. It's not going to get you to reality. There's this kind of, I don't know what to call it. Is it a trend? It's not really a trend, but it's kind of a paradox, I suppose, which is that people always think that the answer must lie somewhere in the jigsaw puzzle of the pieces of information they already hold. But frequently, this is one of my experiences during many years of journalism. I shudder to think how many. I'm going to try to work it out. I think it's, what is it, 17 years of journalism? That can't be right. But one of the things that I have learned across numerous stories is that it doesn't work like that. There are so many facts that we don't know in all circumstances, and almost always the answer lies within the facts that we don't know and that are not accessible to us. And if we had all the information, we would think that these conspiracy theories are ridiculous, right? Because we would know so much more. But people are just grasping at straws, those straws being the few things, the few bits of information that have been released. There is no reason why the answer to the question has to lie in the information that is already in the public domain. Not everyone, though, was spreading conspiracy theories. So just to give you a little flavor of what one high-profile person said, Kevin Peterson, for those who aren't interested in cricket, he is a very famous cricketer, bit of a personality. He's actually South African, but he played for England. And he also knows a lot of the great and the good British society. He lives near Windsor. And he posted this on Twitter. Conspiracy theories around Kate are absolutely absurd. We see W and K most days, and in the last couple of days too. It beggars belief that people would be so ridiculous and cruel in writing BS on this platform that are out and out lies. W and K are the most wonderful parents and as normal, humble as they come. Let K, who is recovering from an operation, recover. Leave her and her beautiful family alone. There have also, I should say, been some murmurings from a friend of Kate's to ITV royal correspondent Chris Shipp along the lines that the people spreading these rumours and conspiracies may regret their actions in due course if she does choose to tell people what she's been going through. Now, obviously, I've said this before on this podcast, but people should remember that we never knew what Meghan was going through at the time she was experiencing a mental health crisis. It was only when she spoke out to Oprah that that really became clear. Now, just, I suppose, if you are somebody who has been spreading all of these theories, the only thing that I would really say is just try to imagine how you will feel if Kate kind of does something similar to what Megan did and, you know, talks about just how hard this all has been for her. So I'm going to read a little bit of what Chris Shipp wrote. He wrote, when Kate does return to work, be that at Easter, during the Easter holidays, or after the schools return from the Easter break, in the case of George, Charlotte and Louis school, that is April 17, I'm told she will elaborate on her time away from public duties. We will likely hear during one of her chats with the public or with someone from a charity that she's come to support what it has been like being sick and knowing the rampant clamour online for people to see a photograph or some kind of proof of life. Kate may even choose to give some more details about the type of procedure she had. If and when she does, according to a friend of hers, a lot of people are going to feel a lot of regret about the pressure Kate was under to appear in public during her recovery. So some sobering words, I think, you know, and it's just always important, I think, in these situations to step back and just ask yourself, like, am I doing the right thing? Is this fair? And public figures, it's legitimate to criticize them. Of course it is. Nobody has to like a member of the royal family who they do not instinctively feel that they like. And if you are somebody who doesn't like Kate and William, you're entitled to not like Kate and William, just as people are perfectly entitled not to like Harry and Meghan, or not to like Charles and Camilla, or not to like, you know, Joe Biden or Donald Trump or anybody else. But some kind of fairness, I think, is important in society. And I would just really urge people to just remember that these are all human beings as well. And on that note, I'm going to take a quick break. But please remember to rate and review The Royal Report on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get your favourite shows. When I'm back, Kensington Palace's reputation has been under the cosh again over a different photoshopped picture.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Now, a big strand to this whole saga has been Kensington Palace's reputation as a reliable source. A new development this week is that another picture has been judged by Getty Images. This is the picture agency that Newsweek predominantly uses, and they have judged another picture taken by Kate to have been digitally enhanced, to use their words. Now, I must admit, this hardly came as a surprise, because Newsweek and other outlets reported on allegations that this particular photo had been tweaked or doctored back in April 2023 when the picture was first released. So it's an image of Queen Elizabeth II surrounded by Kate and William's children, along with some other young royals, and it was taken at Balmoral in summer 2022, so not long before the monarch passed away. I should say it was released to mark what would have been her 97th birthday in April 2023. Now, the most clear telltale signs of editing were around Prince Louis. That's certainly how we saw it at the time. He's sitting on the arm of this green sofa, and the arm of the sofa looks a bit warped. And there are some other hallmark signs, such as, you know, breaks in the pattern of the carpet and so on. So this picture was said by Kensington Palace at the time to have been taken by Kate. There was obviously no indication when it was sent out that it had been altered or what the alterations were. And in fact, it was sent out with instructions to picture desks that they should, in fact, not digitally alter it themselves, which some may think is slightly ironic now. Getty has added an editor's note to the online image because it's still on their database. And it reads, image has been digitally enhanced at source. So I think my main take home here is that actually when there were a load of stories calling them out for this back in 2023, that was the palace's warning to get on top of this situation. They should basically have pulled Kate to one side right there and then and said, you can't do this. You cannot alter images. I have to say, though, that this should now go beyond Kensington Palace, because that image had the Queen in it and other royal children, you know, beyond the Wales family. So therefore, it falls into Buckingham Palace remit. You know, they should have been keeping an eye on what was being printed about the Queen and about the children of royals who they look after, you know. And both press officers should therefore have taken out Kate and asked what she'd done to the image and why, and also explained to her that authenticity is in fact the most important commodity the royals have, and way more important than this kind of like false orchestrated image of perfection that's just created on a computer. You know, it may well have been down to something as simple as just trying to get a whole load of children to all smile at the same time, which is obviously a nightmare and very difficult to do. But needless to say, the point is that authenticity is hugely important. And I think it's only going to become more important as AI editing tools become much more sophisticated. And I think this is perhaps what the palace didn't realize, what they didn't see coming, is that news organizations and picture agencies must be doing it too, have all been talking behind the scenes, trying to get our heads around how we're going to cope with AI when it becomes a bigger and bigger force. And so I suspect that part of what we're seeing here is a kind of rally against the oncoming forces of artificial intelligence, and a kind of attempt by picture agencies to draw a line in the sand and say, this matters, authenticity matters, we're not going to allow society to just drift into a world where it's completely commonplace to create effectively fake pictures or artificial pictures that have been doctored using AI or doctored using editing software in order to change reality. So, in fact, I should say, not only was there a backlash against Kate over two pictures, the one with the Queen and then their Christmas card over the festive season, along with the Mother's Day picture that was released recently, but there was also ridicule of Prince Harry after a Time 100 photo shoot in which he had a surprisingly full head of hair. You know, it's no particular secret that Harry, he's not fully bald, but he is balding, and he had a very luscious head of hair in a set of pictures, which did look, in all honesty, like something had been done to make him look different to how he usually looks. Not necessarily particularly criticizing him, because obviously this was a Time 100 shoot, and it, you know, who's to say he even knew they were doing it. In that respect, the buck does have to stop beyond Kate, not only for this 2023 release, but also the Mother's Day picture. It's fine to let Kate take her own pictures. In fact, it's great. But the press office needed to explain to her what the requirements of picture agencies would be. And the palace clearly, if it does not already, needs to have its own code of conduct and standards in relation to its own output of digital images, both to news agencies and also on social media. And this needs to be written down, and it needs to be written down clearly so that, you know, any royal family member in the future, or even their own social media team, if they are planning to take pictures in future, they can be shown this standards document where it's written down in black and white, and they can be made aware of what will be required of them, including that they don't make substantive changes to pictures digitally. But, you know, all of those past news stories, including the ones of Harry, should have tipped off Kate that she would be called out on the Mother's Day picture. You know, she should have known that people would go over this picture with an absolute magnifying glass at looking for any imperfections, just as they did in April 2023, just as they did with Harry in Time 100, just as they did with William and Kate's Christmas card in December 2023, where people were saying that Louis's hands looked weird and looked like it had been altered using AI. So, you know, if they were doing it for all those pictures, they were obviously going to do it again in a context where everybody was already peddling conspiracy theories on social media. It was so predictable to anyone who knew that the picture had been changed. I must put my hands up and admit I didn't see it coming, because I absolutely did not in a million years expect them to alter the one picture, the worst possible picture to ever alter ever. And not only was it altered, but it was altered really, really badly and obviously. So it's completely crazy that this is where things have wound up. And I can't help wondering whether the press office even told Kate about all the previous stories accusing her of photoshopping, you know, in relation to the Queen picture and the Christmas card. You know, they should have told her, look, this is what people are saying. They're saying that you messed around with this image. Is it true? Because obviously you must know that you can't do that. You mustn't do that. Our reputation for authenticity and reliability is extremely important. So, you know, the issue is one of trust. Now, there has actually been a little bit of good news this week for the palace, very rare at the moment, but there we are. And that's some polling by YouGov for Sky News, which shows that in the eyes of British people, public trust in the monarchy has actually not been dented anywhere near as seriously as some people might assume. So far, at least. So 51% of British people have seen the conspiracy theories, compared to 44% who had not. 41% felt the palace released the right amount of detail about Kate's health, while 36% thought they released too little. 9% say they trust Kate less, but the same number say they trust her more. So a slight polarization, perhaps, in opinion, but those are low numbers, basically. Now, I would just very briefly point out that if people didn't trust the palace or Kate to begin with, then they might say they are continuing to trust the same amount, and that doesn't necessarily mean that they trust them. It just means that they don't trust them any less than they did before. But obviously, the monarchy has, you know, historically been very popular and trusted in Britain. So, you know, these are, I think, a good set of numbers for the monarchy. You know, they're not, the royals are not hemorrhaging support yet. The media, though, will remember the issue with the photograph being doctored, and they will potentially remember it for a long time, so it could have a long-lasting effect on how journalists, commentators, and people in the public eye perceive royal announcements from here on in. And I would also be very interested to see whether this has any impact on support for abolishing the monarchy, particularly among young people, which was already ticking upward before this whole saga even began. So, you know, all in all, the Getty editor's note is another blow to the monarchy's reputation, but there is no knockout punch yet. I think basically most British people just want to know what actually is going on and are also hoping that Kate is doing well and getting better and that everything will go back to normal soon. And on that note, I'm going to take one more quick break. But before I do, just a reminder to follow me on X. I'm at Jack_Royston. You will find all my latest stories for Newsweek. And when I'm back, there is one very well-connected royal commentator who is warning that the monarchy could actually, in fact, be close to its 11th hour.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hi everyone and welcome back to the show. Now, there are very few people in royal reporting who are genuinely, you know, really extremely well connected, but one of those people is a man called Richard Kay. He was in fact a very close friend of Princess Diana, which is actually recorded as fact in the police investigation into Diana's death. He was actually one of the last people to speak to her over the phone, and therefore he was interviewed by the Operation Paget police investigation. Now, Richard Kay wrote a column for the Daily Mail over the weekend, and the headline was pretty striking. It read, "If the royal family is not quite at the 11th hour, it is perilously close." This was described by the newspaper as an impassioned warning that cannot be ignored. Now, he talked a little bit about how this whole debacle has gone down in the international media, you know, mocked in France, mocked in Italy. The New York Times reported on the storm of questions and a lingering credibility gap. For what it's worth, since this came out, actually, it's kind of gone even more into overdrive, and I think being mocked by public services in New York and all of that kind of thing. So it definitely, obviously, is international ridicule for the British royal family, but there was some much more interesting stuff in this column than that. So I'm going to start by reading you probably the main big bit that caught my eye and then look at some other little snippets here and there that I thought were interesting. So he says, "The photograph issue, while small in itself, nevertheless exposed tensions that lie close to the surface in the family, as well as the fragility of an institution that for decades seemed impervious to any external threat. But if we are not quite at the 11th hour, we are perilously close. There still may be time for the high tide of public disapproval to recede, but the cost to the royal image and to individual reputations has been high. More concerning still, such crises no longer seem the exception, but the rule. A fortnight ago, the sight of a grinning Prince Andrew and his ex-wife leading this now diminished family into church for the Thanksgiving service for the late King Constantine of Greece prompted disbelief. Like the cast of a ghastly pantomime was how one of the king's most trusted friends described it to me. Thank God for the European royals who added a bit of decorum. Now, obviously, though, that alone is quite strong commentary, but also there's some other very interesting stuff in there. There's talk about a lack of clarity on who the second in command is between Prince William and Queen Camilla. There's talk about the fact that Prince William and Kate now have this gargantuan budget because they inherited this property estate called the Duchy of Cornwall. It was passed from Charles to William at the point that Charles became king. It had, you know, it's huge amounts of money passing through it each year in the tens of millions, 24 million last year. Richard Kay quotes that basically he says courtiers have had to ask what he spends the money on or if he even has the faintest idea what to do with it. It cuts very deep to the heart of the of a number of issues in the monarchy. He says, you know, Charles had to pay for William and Kate's running costs for a period of time and for Harry and Meghan's, but William only has his own family bills to meet. And it's not clear if he has any plans for how he's actually going to use what is huge sums of cash that some people, it's not generally considered public money, but there is an argument, particularly among Republicans, among anti-monarchy people, that it should be viewed as public money because it doesn't belong to individual family members. It belongs to the kind of the Prince of Wales, the holder of that office for as long as they hold the office. So, you know, it's an interesting thing. There was a cartoon, I think, from the Washington Post that was going around, which showed, it was like the Daily Fluff, and it was a newspaper that looked suspiciously like the Daily Mail, and every day it was churning out front page after front page, whimsically saying how fine everything was, obviously, while, you know, everything in reality is on fire. But what struck me as most bizarre about that cartoon is that the most interesting thing is that it's not actually the way that the Daily Mail have been reporting this story at all. There have been quite a large number of columns by some senior columnists, regular columnists, respected within the Daily Mail as a newspaper, which have actually been far more hostile to the monarchy, far more hostile, you know, even sometimes to Prince William for allowing Kate to take the rap for the Mother's Day picture rather than sharing the blame himself. So it's way more interesting to actually consider the possibility that this might be significantly eroding trust and positivity towards the monarchy among one of the most pro-monarchy newspapers in Britain. I just thought it was really striking. And I think what's particularly interesting is that the columnists in some ways are usually on newspapers often better connected socially than the actual correspondents, because they do all the hobnobbing and meeting people, so they've got very good contacts. And I wonder if that may be a part of the reason why they're taking a slightly more hostile approach than the actual royal correspondents themselves. And that is it for this week's episode of The Royal Report. Be sure to join me every week when I visit the latest royal headlines, embark on some royal deep dives, and riff on all things royal. Until next time, I'm Jack Royston. Thanks for listening, everyone, and a curtsy to you all.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.